Welcome back, queens and kings. Welcome to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Shelby.
I was trying to think of a more creative way to say welcome, so...
I like it. Okay. I'm a queen.
Anyone listening is a queen or a king.
Yeah. You are our kings and queens. Today, we are talking about Kingdom of Ash. The final book of Throne of Glass.
We did it.
But we still need to talk about the first two books on the pod. But we finished it. We finished reading it.
Ooh. I don't even remember the first two books.
It took us on a wild ride, you guys. This series was everything. Best characters.
I don't even have words.
I don't either. Should we just go silent for the rest of the episode?
Let's take a moment of silence for this series.
Honestly, it needed it. It needed it.
It's just like, whoa.
I have the book here for
I cannot believe how big that book is.
It's so heavy.
I mostly listened to Kingdom of Ash.
This is heavier than the dumbbells that I lift. Do you think this is 5 pounds?
Yeah.
It's probably three pounds.
It's probably three pounds.
Why don't I just start lifting my books? Wow. Okay.
Strong girl summer.
Whoa, girl.
Good. Sorry, let's get right into it. Kingdom of Ash.
We're not really going to go into non-spoilers because you know by this point you've read it. Yeah. If you're listening to this, you have read it. Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, anybody outside of social media that says you have listened to our podcast, I love you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you for giving us feedback for reals. There's only some people that give real feedback, and we actually appreciate it.
You guys are the realist.
You are the realist.
Yeah.
You are.
So thank you.
And you know who you are.
Lots of love.
And if you've never been here before, welcome. This is where we talk about books, movies, pop culture.
If this is your first time listening, though, there's a lot of other episodes you need to listen to.
There are.
Because if you've read Throne of Glass,
you need to listen
to our other episodes,
please.
Tandem Read is probably still my favorite episode we've ever released.
Same.
Please listen to the Tandem Read episode. It's about Tower of Dawn and Empire of Storms. Whether you read them together or not, please listen to that episode if you've read those books, because I love it. That was so fun.
It was
that fun. Honestly might be the highlight of, I don't know, Queen of Shadows though.
I think Queen of Shadows is still my favorite book in the series.
I think it was too. I really did like the tandem read. Surprisingly really liked Kale and Irene.
Oh, yeah. If you had to rate the books right now, how would you rate them? Just
In order?
Tog. Like
ranking them or just rating them?
No, just ranking. Your favorite to your least favorite.
Queen of Shadows, number one.
Same.
Empire of Storms.
Probably same. I think I would put Kingdom of Ash third.
And then...
would you put Kingdom of Ash third?
Maybe Kingdom of Ash or Tower of Dawn.
Yeah.
Ooh. Air of Fire's gotta be last. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then Air of Fire and Crown of Midnight were the last ones.
Yeah.
And then after... and then Assassin's Blade and Throne of Glass were probably together.
Yeah, in the middle.
Yeah.
I would agree. They're all so good, though. Go read them if you haven't. But we're going to get into spoilers. So if you haven't read this...
bye.
Bye.
Love you, but...
unless you want to listen. Okay, let's get into it.
Okay, I'm trying to find my notes. I'm struggling.
They're kind of far down. It's been a minute since we read it, but... we learned that we need to take notes while we read, so we have...
found it. Let's try to get through these. Oh, we have... oh, yes. Shelby.
Speed round.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Speed tour. Speed. Have you seen that kid on TikTok that does house tours? He's a realtor. It's
when he runs through the house. Hilarious.
He's so funny. That. Speed tour.
Love that. Okay.
Okay. We start off the book. Rowan is looking for Aelin. Where's my wife?
Where's my wife? All right, because she's taken by Maeve. Okay.
The Stygian spider that Manon stole spider silk from finds her and is now kind of helping them.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. But then we quickly learn that
they're not
the spider's bad, and Dorian kills the spider.
Spider bad.
There's a part here that I remember very clearly, and it is after Dorian kills the spider with very little effort. He just is like, okay, you're done, and just kills a spider.
Dorian?
Basically with his mind.
Yeah, Dorian turns into the most powerful person in this whole series.
Yeah.
He's learning how to shapeshift, and I was like, whoa.
That was a journey in this
book. What?
I was like, hello?
And it's like, is he like Pharaoh where he has all of the powers?
That's how I feel, and never got answers.
We didn't.
Be real. Sorry.
Thawy.
We took a be real break and I had a snack in my mouth. Thawy.
You can take that out, okay? Anyway. So, in the beginning of this book, Aelin is with Maeve. She was taken. And, what's his name? Karen. First of all,
what is that name?
We listened to most of this on Audible because after the tandem read, I was like,
I needed a break.
Destroyed. I could not keep reading. So it was actually kind of a breath of fresh air to listen to it, but at the same time, not because there were so many parts that were so cringy in the audiobook. And we can talk about those when we get to those points. But
I love the audio.
I loved Fenris and Aelin's relationship.
Oh, their relationship.
The blinking. And then when it comes full circle at the end, that's like...
That was one of the few parts that I actually got emotional.
Same. That was like the only part that I think I cried.
Yeah. It was one of the only times that I got emotional.
The white wolf. Oh. Yeah.
And the blood oath.
Oh my gosh. I loved their relationship. And at the same time when Aelin is under Maeve's control with Karen. Lysandra is posing as Aelin. So she's shifting into Aelin and nobody's like questioning it.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you not know?
I was very nervous the whole time.
Same.
Also, were you nervous that Aelin was going to, like, save herself and just, like, pop up out of nowhere and there's going to be two Aelins?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no.
Well, I wasn't nervous for that, but that would actually kind of have been epic.
That would have been funny.
Okay,
Irene meets Kale's dad.
Oh, this was a good part.
I loved this part.
His dad
is the worst.
The worst. He's such an a-hole.
Seriously.
K-hole's a whole dad.
And I love how Irene can just hold her own.
Yeah.
She stands her ground. She says, I know precisely how talented I am. I don't need your blessing.
Yes.
I was like, yes, queen.
Ooh.
Irene is such a queen.
Irene
I can't even handle it.
Turns into, like, one of the best characters.
If you didn't like Tower of Dawn, why?
Why? She's the best. She almost is better than Lysandra by the end, to me. I was, like, obsessed with Lysandra.
They're very different.
By the end, I think I liked Irene more.
Yeah.
And she has so many good moments in this book, you guys. There are so many things that happen in this book that I saw on TikTok and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, have I read that? Wait. So I spoiled some things.
I
spoiled the mask. TikTok. I was like, when did she have a mask on?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, same. I saw a ton of fan art with the mask on.
And I was so confused.
But it doesn't really spoil anything. I mean, it does because you see that she gets captured. So I knew that she was going to get captured by Maeve.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a shock.
And that trend, haven't I given enough?
Yeah.
Oh, I actually
my
heart. Trend.
Okay, what happens in chapter 20? You said Maeve's story, or did I write that?
That's just when Maeve kind of tells us about her background, and you kind of feel for her a little bit. And
is that where she describes that she came from another world?
Yeah,
Yes. And I was like,
and she's
that's
like,
when a I was part like, she's Rhysand's sister.
Yeah, she's like a part of the three sisters or whatever, but she's not a sister. She just made everybody believe that. Oh, so we that's get right. to learn about her backstory. And I actually really liked that because I was like, who is this Maeve girl? Like, where did she come from? Who is she? Why is she here? She's just an evil character. But then after that, you kind of start to appreciate her character a little bit more and the power that she holds and has.
Yeah. Okay. Manon and Astrid's wyverns are mates, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we find this out in this
which
book.
I love that. But now that I'm coming back and thinking about it, that storyline never went anywhere.
No, it
which
didn't.
Is, I'm kind of disappointed. That was kind of there for no reason. That yeah. never nothing ever happened with the fact that they were mates.
It was just like brought so, up once.
And I would then... have loved for that storyline to become something, or at least at the end of the book, like seen Manon's wyvern grieving.
Yeah.
Because then it would have tied it all back together. But that seems just out of place for me.
Yeah. No, when reading that note, I had the same exact thought. You literally just read my mind. Oh my I was like, gosh. Why didn't it?
We're on the same
why
page.
Why didn't that come up more? It would have been fun.
Yeah. I wanted a Taryn and Sigale moment.
I know, but they don't talk. So I think that's I why she couldn't really play on that. Yeah. Is because they.
But
they
we definitely talk. Could have had, like, you know, some sort of sad moment.
Yeah,
with
like
the
where
Braxos.
They're flying with each other. And I don't know.
There could have been something.
There could have been something. Come on, Sarah J. Maas. This book was so long. You could have added that in there, too.
I know.
Anyway.
Just give us a paragraph.
Yes, just a paragraph, please. We find out Rowan's plan with the word keys, where he basically puts out a rumor that there are the callers mm-hmm. out there, and Maeve believes him. She's kind of dumb.
Yeah, you kind of can't believe that she falls for their trap. So they so lure her away from Aelin so they can go in for a rescue. And they are successful. Anything else on that?
No. Okay, so on page 232, it says stars, just two, but there were stars overhead. And I was like, could that be face sand?
Hmm.
Could it be? I don't think I've seen anybody say that, so I think it's definitely a stretch. But anytime there's, like, stars or the night sky or anything like that, it automatically brings me
okay.
to Akatar.
So you know what's funny? Because now reading Crescent City... Sarah J. Maas does love to use descriptive language involving stars and the night sky. And I'm like, okay, either Sarah J. Maas is a genius connecting all of her books in this crazy way, or
she loves
all
the
of
night
us,
sky.
All of us are psychotic, delusional, thinking that she's leaving Easter eggs for us to connect the dots. And she's just like, I just like using this language because it's, yeah. I just like it.
We need answers.
Anyways,
I do. I have
that was
heard,
off topic.
Though, that the last Crescent City book merges
okay.
all of the
yeah.
worlds.
I've heard that too. There's just so many things that I'm like, ooh, is that a crossover? And then I'm like, I think we're just psycho. But anyways. Okay. We learn a lot more about the Kraken witches in this book. They're definitely like the most human out of the witch clans.
More than the black beaks,
yeah.
for sure.
Which gives us a little bit more answers as to why Manon is the way she is, why she always has felt a little bit different, like she has a heart.
Yeah,
but
she
we
has
do
feelings.
Learn that the black beaks do have feelings. They just were conditioned to think otherwise.
Yeah.
But also the part where, okay, they were describing the Krakens, and like a lot of the Krakens are secret witches. Like they just feel very human. They have normal lives with like a husband and kids. And when they said one day they just all picked up their brooms and left.
Oh, it was giving Hocus Pocus.
It's like, what just happened? Yeah, literally Hocus Pocus.
They can like, just fly on brooms.
They're like,
their husbands are like, what?
They didn't know they were married to a witch. And all of a sudden she just grabs a broom and flies into the sky. Moral of the story is, men, don't... keep brooms in your house.
Don't trust your wife.
A vacuum will do the trick, I promise.
Yes. One of those preferably one of those vacuums that can vacuum and mop at the same time.
We have one of those, and it's also automatic.
Is it the little circle one that you have?
Yes.
It does both?
Its name is Jansen, and Jansen sweeps and mops at the same... I mean, vacuums and mops at the same time. Honestly, and Jansen is self-emptying and self-cleaning.
You're joking.
We spent a lot of money on Jansen, and it was worth every penny.
I need that. I really need that.
Anyways, off topic.
We get into where Dorian finally shifts, and he just changes his eye color.
Yes.
But I was like, no, not the sapphire eyes.
I love Dorian's curiosity, asking the spider all these questions. Mm-hmm. And I love that the spiders love to spill tea.
Yeah.
They cannot help it.
What did you cannot. Say the equivalent of the Suriel and Tog is yes. the Stygian the spiders?
Stygian spiders. They literally cannot contain themselves. They have to spill the tea. Anyways, so Dorian inquires about how shape shifts, and he kind of uses that to practice, and he eventually figures it out, which I thought was a really cool magical power for Dorian.
Yes. We kind of already talked about this Blood Oath part, so let's keep going.
Okay.
We get into chapter 29, where they rescue Aelin. But it was wasn't it Fenris? That kind of, I'm blanking on what happened. He pretty much made it all happen. Rowan had his plan with the collars, and it made mm-hmm. Maeve leave. Correct. And so she's with Cairn now. And then Fenris does something. You guys, I can't remember. It's been a minute since reading this.
He has to snap the Blood Oath, which is like really painful.
Yeah.
And nearly kills him.
Yes. From Maeve.
Mm-hmm. And while he's dying, Aelin offers him the Blood Oath and then commands him to live. And I was like,
live.
Oh my gosh.
What was that? That cry I just did.
Anyways, so yes, Fenris is essential to helping her escape. Rowan getting his revenge on Cairn. Yes.
Yes.
It didn't go into any detail, but you knew that it went down in that chamber.
Stupid Cairn.
And I was like, thank you, Rowan.
Yes, he always comes in with a vengeance. okay, this part... this part in the audio was mm-mm. so cringy, mm-mm. I couldn't do it. And I was like, why I need to be just reading this right now. Where they finally rescue her. She still has the mask on, and she's telling them to take it off.
Take it off.
And I was like, okay. It was a little excessive.
Anytime that there's like a lot of emotion, like yelling, screaming, or crying, the audio is not it. It is so bad.
Or the smut parts. Please
no.
Don't. Any fantasy book is just better when you read it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Chapter 33, Dorian summons Kaltane. That was crazy.
This was crazy.
I was very happy to see her make an appearance in this book because we obviously loved her.
These parts were trippy, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a trip.
And didn't he accidentally summon her? Or was it on purpose? I don't remember.
He was not expecting to see her.
Mm-hmm. But she reappears and gives him information, right?
Mm-hmm. Information, that is, I could not tell you.
I don't remember either.
But it was essential information.
It was
I think it was helping him find the word key.
Yeah.
So basically telling him where it is, I think.
Because he's... Is he on the search yet for the third one, or that doesn't happen until a little bit later? I think he pretty much is the whole book. It's like in the back of his mind the whole time.
Yeah. Okay.
Aelin's
scars are gone after being tortured.
Because Maeve heals them, and she's kind of upset about it because those are like memories.
Right. Those are like
part of her.
Yeah.
And her past and the things
she's
had to go
through. It was like a surprisingly sad moment for all of her scars to be gone. And because also the scars on her back, Rowan had tattooed into something beautiful. and then we're gone.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's messed up. That's right. So he has to redo the tattoos.
Yeah.
Which was part of the storyline because, as we know, he put in secret word marks into the tattoos.
Ooh, that part was so good. Okay, I was like, yes, genius. Rowan. He comes in clutch with the good plans in this book for sure.
Yeah, it's given Aelin.
It is.
He's making
the plans this time.
Yeah. He's learning from her.
Yes.
How do you feel about Adian in this book?
Oh, he was bugging me. He was really, really bugging me. He bugs
you in every single book.
Yeah, maybe he just bugs me.
Yeah, we honestly don't love Adian. He's done a lot of weird things.
I thought he would have a better character arc, but he didn't. Same with Lysandra. You know what?
Adian's just always kind of there.
Yeah, he's just there. He's the cousin that you don't want there.
He
is a loyal man.
Lysandra's different. I like her character arc better because her at first.
Yeah.
And then her and Aelin become like allies. And I love her that.
Arc happened a little sooner in the series rather than at the end. But Adian never really had a good character arc. And he's he was just buggy. He was.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Roland and their biting moments?
I don't want to answer that.
It's giving vampire.
Because I liked it.
I know. Sad to admit.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
But why is that their thing?
We love vampires.
I know.
Ooh. Like, you know? What was that? Can you do that again?
I just cooed.
Okay, it was better the first time.
It was.
Okay, chapter 48, Irene and Aelin meeting, and, finally, Irene and Aelin meet. And then when Aelin sees Kale, walk in, and she just, doesn't she just start crying?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, this is the first time that she sees Kale after being injured and healed, and
she just breaks down.
Is this the reunion of Irene and Aelin?
Yeah.
Aelin?
Aelin? Who's Aelin?
Her nickname is Lynn. Cute.
Irene.
Sorry. And Aelin.
Yeah, so they all, it's after the, there's a bunch of battles that I can't keep track of, but after the first battle,
We're not really going to talk about the battle chapters because we were uninterested.
Confuse me. I don't know what's happening. All I know is that they're fighting. post war, one of the little battles that happens earlier on.
The little battles.
Shut up. They're all they get reunite.
Yeah.
Irene, Kale, Aelin, and they finally put it together. Ugh, how Aelin and Irene met. All the way back in Assassin's Blade.
What are you doing on the notes?
I'm just fidgeting.
I can see it on mine.
Okay, sorry. But the reunion was so good.
Yeah.
It was emotional. Oh, I loved it. Okay, and then Aelin meets Kale's dad. Oh. First, he gets a beating with Irene. And then he gets
Aelin.
Mind games with Aelin.
Yeah.
It's different. Irene just, stands up to herself and isn't afraid to mouth off to Kale's dad, and I love that. But Aelin is just a whole different story. She is calculated. She's sarcastic, arrogant, and I loved
the way she talked back to him.
I loved the women putting Kale's dad in his place in this book.
Yes.
We love that.
Why are there always horrible father figures in her books?
Yeah.
Sarah J. Maas, your father?
We said that same thing about
Kristen Hannah. She has trauma.
I guess it's just easy to write a bad dad.
Yeah.
Hey,
But it's like Disney. All the moms are dead because his mother died.
Oh.
Did you know that? Anyway, what were you saying? The book what?
The book that I started writing, that who knows if I'll ever finish, I did the opposite. I have a bad mom, but a good dad.
That's right. And I remember I started reading it, and I was like, are you doing this on purpose? Because if you're not, you got to change it. But you were.
I was.
So
I did my job, because I was trying to make the mom not likable and the dad likable.
So. Yeah, I actually really liked the dad in that book. You should keep writing.
Okay, I'll try, you guys.
For funsies.
For funsies. It's probably the worst book ever written, but we're going to do it.
No.
Anyways, the witch is bending the knee for...
No. Dorian in his female form.
Guys,
this was probably the best part of the whole book, honestly.
I was dead. I was like, what's happening? I love this. I hate this.
And then he...
Dorian shifts into a female.
Manon sees him. And she's like, wait a second.
She smells him. So right. She sees the girl, but she knows it's Dorian.
Yeah. And she's like, who... Wait.
And then they start flirting with each other.
In girl form.
And it gets so, like, flirtatious. And I'm like, she's talking to a girl.
Yeah.
But she's talking to Dorian.
Yeah.
But it's just
she so says to him, funny. I'm surprised you haven't groped yourself already. And he's like, doesn't he say, like, I was tempted to go into a tent and learn a little bit more about women.
I was like, oh my gosh, Dorian, stop.
That is the biggest Dorian move.
I mean, he does have phantom hands.
Phantom Anyways, hands.
We're going to move on.
Okay.
I love Dorian so much. I just can't even handle it.
I know.
It.
I just secretly wish that Dorian and Aelin were together.
Look, I love Rowan. I really want to know what it would have been like. I don't know.
For
maybe we should find like a fan,
Delaylin.
Like a fanfic of
Dorian
of Dorian and Aelin ending up together, because that was the original plan for Sarah J. Maas. So I'm very
was
curious.
It really?
That's what I heard. Is that originally Dorian was gonna be endgame with Aelin?
I am honestly
and
team
Rowan
Dorian.
Was just going to train her and like be a friend.
Hmm.
I'm very
But then he bit her and everything changed.
Curious as to what Dorian and Aelin would have ended up like.
Honestly, a power couple.
He was too soft at the beginning though.
Yeah, he was. Soft boy.
He needed a few of those things to happen.
And she needed a manly man.
She did, and that is Rowan.
Yes. Yes. Okay, let's move on.
Moving on. The witch is bending the knee for Manon.
Queen of witches.
Yeah, I'm blanking. I don't even know what this is.
It's basically just what you said. They're bending the knee. They're crowning her queen.
Love that.
And it was a moment.
This is a blackout part of my memory, apparently, because I'm like, I'm trying so hard to remember this, and I just can't.
And then we kind of go into Lorcan and Elide's story a little bit more, and they say, I will always find you. That's their quote.
Yeah.
Didn't they say that in the Empire of Storms, though?
I think so. Then they kind of had
but
a falling
so
out,
tender.
And then they kind of got back together in this book.
Yeah, and they ride Farasha, the horse.
Farasha.
I love this
the
horse.
The Asterion.
The black horse.
Horse.
Yeah. I can't remember if Farasha is Asterion or not.
Maybe not.
But... there's, like, this fan art of them on Farasha, and it is beautiful.
Is it the part where she saves him and, like, hauls him onto the horse? Where she rides... Okay, this part was really epic. When Elide realizes that he's out in the battlefield.
Yeah.
And nobody knows where he is, and so she just, like, takes off.
Yeah.
Totally fearless. She grabs a horse, rides into the battle, finds him dying in the battlefield, like, under a pile of bodies.
Yeah.
And she's like, you are not dying right
yeah.
now. She's like, hauls him onto the horse and rides all the way back to a healer and saves his life.
Yeah.
That part was so good. That was a very
so
good,
good
side story.
Really, really good. That's one of the best.
The writing side in that chapter is really good too.
Is Lorcan and Elide. They have some funny moments, some really good moments. In chapter 64, Lorcan finally says, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we needed that. We were waiting for that forever.
Yeah, we were.
And then they battle more. Little battles.
More fighting.
Yes.
Couldn't tell you what's happening.
They have to sleep for like 3 days straight after the battles because they hit their like bottom of their pit of their magic. And sometimes I feel the same. I feel like I need a break day in between every business day.
What?
You know what I'm saying? I need a day to, like, just rest and sleep in between every day.
Yeah, I feel that. We find all the letters that Kale's dad has withheld from Kale's mom. So it's really sad because this whole time, like, Kale's not sure if his mom wants anything to do with him.
The notebook.
And his mom isn't sure if Kale wants anything to do with her. And then they realize that the dumb dad has just been ruining everything all along. So those letters are a tender moment for sure. Dorian shifting in Morath looking for the third key.
Yeah, so this is when he goes looking for the third key and he doesn't tell anybody that he's going.
Is this where he, like...
He, like, turns into a cat and, like, just shifts and
eavesdropping
to, like, a bug. Just a bunch of random things.
These chapters were so funny to me. And also, I was like, what is going on? Because then he is trying to ally with Maeve. And I was like, excuse me? What is happening? And then they decide they're basically engaged. And this whole time, I'm like... What is going on?
It was kind of confusing.
What is happening here? I mean, I knew that he had a plan. You know Dorian.
Yeah.
Like, I knew he was scheming this whole time, but I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Actually, for a moment, I thought maybe Maeve was going to be good.
Yeah.
And that it was like a Rhysand moment where you think that they're a terrible person, but then you learn that it's like all a ruse.
Yeah.
And for a moment, I was like, wait a second. What is happening?
Mm-hmm.
But then he tricks her, and I was like, okay, got it.
But we learn a lot about her. But first of all, if I was Dorian in these chapters, I would be having the time of my life, shifting into all of these different things.
Yeah, but it does take a lot of energy to shift.
It does.
So you can't overuse it.
We learn a lot of things about Maeve here. We learn... that she can't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
She's from a different world than the Valks.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not from the same world, and that confirms our theory.
These chapters, I was like, whoa. And this is when I really went down the rabbit hole of, is Maeve Rhysand's sister? Because everything was adding up.
It was.
And so I still believe that she's his sister.
I do too. I am holding strong to that
theory. There is a good point people make, and I think I've brought this up before, maybe even on the pod, but it does describe Maeve's form. Even though her physical form matches Rhysand pretty much to a T, she chose that form.
Yes.
It's just a form that she decided to look like. So that kind of is a discrepancy in our theory, and that's the only discrepancy.
Yeah. But I mean, think about how hard it would be to manipulate everyone constantly to make them see you as a certain way.
Yeah.
So maybe it is her true form. Who knows?
Yeah.
But a question we have is, and Dorian asked too, why did Maeve leave her world? Like, what was her reason why she wanted to leave?
Right.
And create all of this chaos.
And did we ever get an answer?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
It's unclear to me. But some of the things she was saying, I was like, maybe she really is, like, a good person.
Like, she was saying not all Valk are evil.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe it's just what we've been conditioned to believe.
Yeah.
And this goes with the theory that Rhysand is a descendant of Valk.
Yeah.
Anyways. Dorian's powers, we touched on this.
But we have him written down here. He has ice.
I'm a little bit mad because, sorry, I interrupted you, but we never get answers as to why Dorian is the way he is, where his powers come from, and why does he have all the powers.
I get that he has raw power and maybe that's why he kind of has multiple powers, but still we didn't get those answers. He has ice, fire, phantom hands, shifting, Daemonty. He randomly has healing powers.
Yeah, those come out of the blue,
just like so subtle too.
Yeah,
like, oh yeah.
It was such a passing thing. It was just like, oh, and then he used his healing powers. I was like, what healing powers?
Yeah, when did we hear about this?
Hello, did we miss that?
Did I fall asleep?
Maybe we did. So Dorian's like honestly the best character in this entire series.
He definitely is the strongest.
Like, we love
him. Most powerful.
And why didn't Dorian get his own book? How did Kale get his own book and not Dorian? I'm sorry.
I was hoping
like, that what the heck?
The other book in the tandem read would be Dorian, but it wasn't. But I actually still liked it.
And I still love the tandem read books, but I need answers. And I'm mad because we're never going to get them because this is a series that's complete. Mm-hmm. Okay, chapter 78, Dorian's scheme to entrap Maeve and destroy Morath. Going into the collar room, altering Maeve's powers. He really is so powerful. He basically, like, controls her mind and has her mind in a hold when he reveals to her that he's just been playing her this entire time. That was epic. That's where we discover that he has Daemonti skills. Daemonti. Basically, he can go into people's minds like Maeve can. And Rhysand.
Yeah.
Intent. And, make them believe what they want to believe. What he wants them to believe. Anything more on that?
No.
Okay. Do you want to do the next one?
Do we want to talk about that?
Chapter 79, Vernon and Elide had witch blood in front of Lorcan. Huh?
I'm confusion.
I'm confusion.
Let's just skip that one. We're
skipping that. Also, guys.
Sometimes.
Elide is a witch, right?
Yeah.
Why did we never come back to that? That's also a storyline that was never finished.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Can somebody please explain this? She always says that she's human.
She's part witch, part human, and is what I got from it.
Yeah, but, like, her play was to say, I'm human, so nobody would think she's witch. I don't know. That was another
open-ended. I know people say that this is the most perfect series.
But it's not there are some perfect. Unanswered.
There are storylines that were never resolved. Sorry. And this is one of them. And it really makes me kind of mad. Because what was the point of Elide being a witch? Like, being part witch. And then it's just never... We never come back to it.
Yeah.
Okay. But chapter 78... this is one of the best parts of Elorkin. Bath time's a dangerous time.
She's like, I need help.
This is when she's like, okay, I like Lorcan again. She's like trying to, you know, Lorcan's not gonna make the first move.
And why did I imagine his hands as those tiny, like, plastic hands and feet?
Oh my god.
In this moment.
I don't know.
I don't know, sometimes my brain does weird things and I'm like, why did that happen? Why did I have to imagine that?
I think we all do that a little bit.
I know.
Why is our mind like this? Okay. Chapter 89.
Oh. Okay, everybody was talking about this chapter. And I was like, this is going to be crazy. I know it's going to be crazy. And it was.
Here's the thing. I think that I had spoiled for myself that the 13 all die.
I did too.
So
I knew it was coming.
A shock to me. And it was a little frustrating that all 13 of them had to sacrifice themselves. Yeah,
why did they all have to do it?
But it was like, you sent me the TikTok, or I sent it to you, about how Manon is like, are you sure, like, you want to come fight for us?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, if it is the difference between winning and losing, like, they were willing to sacrifice themselves from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they did what they had to do in order for them to win that battle. And they did it, and it was so sad.
But honestly, unpopular opinion probably, I didn't get that emotional in this part because I didn't feel super connected to the 13. The only one I felt connected to was Astrin.
Right.
And I'm sure people can agree with that. But, I mean, they were, like, a powerful group, a powerhouse, and they were Manon's 13, like her power, her army, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't feel that connected to them, so when they sacrificed themselves, it didn't make me super emotional, even though it really was an important part to the storyline and, like, they needed to do it.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was more emotional in the following chapters, just when Manon is, like, grieving. that like made me more emotional just because of like you're attached to Manon. So when she's going through these emotions, that made me more sad than the actual act of them sacrificing themselves.
And that's probably like the whole point of why that part is so emotional, is because you're thinking about Manon and what she's going to do, how she's going to feel. And she goes through it. You know, she grieves hard.
Yeah, it's really sad. Okay. I wrote this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you say this one.
Dorian and Aelin are now arguing over who is going to sacrifice themselves.
Because they both have the blood to do it.
And they're like taking a vote anyways. It gave me Hunger Games vibes at the end when Katniss and Peeta are like, I'll die. No, I'll die. Mm-hmm. And they're like, let's just both die. Let's
do it together.
I was like, oh no.
Anyways. I do love Hunger Games though.
And the fact that Kale loves Dorian so much more than Aelin.
Yeah.
He was like, no, Dorian, you can't. Like, I vote for Aelin to go. Everyone was like, what? Because he was the only person, I think, that like voted for Aelin to be the one to sacrifice herself.
Yeah. But they, I mean, don't they eventually decide Aelin's going to be the one to sacrifice herself? And they're voting on if she should do it now before they go and destroy Erwan, or if she should if they need her to kill Erwan and Maeve, or Erwan, and then she does it.
So that's what they were voting on. Details are very fuzzy to me, but yeah, that sounds right.
And I was actually kind of surprised on the vote. I thought that they would vote for her to help them kill Erwan first and then go use the word keys to sacrifice herself. But they all voted for her to do it now because they were certain that they could defeat a freaking god.
Yeah.
Like, what?
No biggie.
Yeah, we can do it. Because doesn't Irene say, like, I can do it? Heal. This is when we find out that healers not only can heal, but they can take away lives.
Yeah. So, she's figured out how to destroy Valg.
Yes.
So that's why she's like, no, I can do it. Mm-hmm. And that part is pretty epic. I like the teamwork with her and Dorian. So Dorian's giving her power.
Yeah.
In order to kill Erwan. But first,
that's more
we kind of jumped forward. But
did we?
Yeah, a little bit, because Aelin goes into, does the word gate first.
Yeah.
And then they go back and defeat Erwan and Maeve. Because, remember, she's trying to send back all the gods.
Yeah.
And Erwan.
Yeah.
And she sends them all back, and they're like, you can keep Erwan. Remember?
Yes, yeah. Well, she made, like, a bargain.
Yes.
For Elena. Right. Like, she wanted Elena to be saved and basically not go to hell or whatever.
Yes.
So she said, you can have, was it Erwan? Someone. I think she said Erwan, like, you can have Erwan or Maeve. But they kind of
tricked her.
They did. Yeah, slimy little.
And because they tricked her, right before she closed the gate, she opened a portal to hell.
Yes.
And then closed it.
Yeah.
And so she basically trapped him in there, in hell. After they tricked her.
What? Why am I sitting like this?
Are you okay?
Oh, not my water bottle.
What is happening? Shelby just fell off the bed. Maeve and Elena are like angel and devil. I did write this, and I like can't remember.
Because Elena is, like, the good, trying to help.
Yeah, and she's, then like, trying to tell Aelin what to do, but then Maeve is trying to tell her what to do.
On your shoulder. They're the angel and the devil on Aelin's shoulder.
Okay, Dorian and Aelin destroying the word keys together. Yeah, we kind of talked about this. And what happens here, they decide to do it together, but she basically sends him away.
Yeah. Well, we see Dorian's dad first before she sends him away, and he is offering to pay the debt.
Well, they're like, what are you doing here? Yeah. He's like, what are you doing here?
He's like, didn't you summon me? That was kind of a funny moment.
He was like, you called me? They're like,
no.
No? Yeah, that was funny.
So, but Dorian's father is offering to pay the debt. And I didn't understand, like, for both of them or just for one of them. But it ended up just being for one of them. So Aelin basically pushes Dorian out and he gets sent back to normal real time.
Yeah.
And so it's,
she pushes him out of the circle.
Yeah, so it's Dorian's father and Aelin destroying the keys. And his dad gives the message of, your parents are proud of you, to Aelin.
Tender.
Which was so sweet. I teared up a little bit at that part.
Yeah. We talked about this, how Rowan secretly tattooed word marks into her tattoo so that she can find him. And that's ultimately what brings her home.
Yeah. It's like her map to find home.
But also, is it Elena that gives her a little kernel of power before she goes?
I don't remember.
A thank you. And maybe. I remember thinking that's what's going to save her. So there's a few things that end up saving Aelin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything together. Dorian's dad, the kernel of power, the word marks on her back. Like, everything. Everybody gave a little bit so that she could just squeeze through and, like, make it.
Yeah. I have this note a little bit later, but do we want to talk about it now? How Dorian's dad is the nameless.
Oh. This was, like, mind-blowing.
Uh-huh.
Because we learn that we always thought nameless is my price was referring to Aelin.
Yeah.
And this whole time, it was referring to Dorian's dad, which is so funny to me.
Because
how did we not notice that he didn't have a name?
We could listen back to some of our podcasts, but I think one of us was like, what is the king's name? What is King of Otterlin?
There is an episode we did early on. And it's probably one of our Throne of Glass books.
Yeah.
And sure. I think you asked. You're like, does he have, like, what is his name?
Yeah, what is his name?
What's Dorian's dad's name? And I was like, I don't know, King of Adderland.
Yeah.
Like, that's just who he is. And I didn't even think anything of it. This whole time, he doesn't even have a name.
He's just King of Adderland. But we find out that he is...
Otterlin.
Is what?
Sorry. That's how they say it in the Audible. Otterlin.
I was like, he's not Otterlin.
I was saying Otterlin wrong, so...
Otterlin, I don't know. Otterlin.
I said a darlin.
I know. I think I said it like that too until I heard the audio.
Yeah.
Oops.
Anyways, so that was crazy.
And we find out that his real name is Dorian. Because he said, it was Erwan that said this was the only time that he remembered his name is when he named you.
Yes.
That was like, what?
That was tender.
Like, that's crazy. Okay. But back to the moment where Aelin is trying to find home. She's kind of, she's following her tattoos that Rowan tattooed on her. There's a moment where her mother's words, she's just like remembering her mom. They come to her and they kind of help her find home. Okay, so on page 798, this is when her mother's words are kind of coming back to her. She says, "It is the strength of this that matters," her mother had said long ago. "Wherever you go, Aelin, no matter how far, this will lead you home."
Okay, if you hear Jensen,
he's with us.
He just woke up from his nap, unfortunately. So, so sorry if you hear more background noise than normal.
But then she goes on to say, "This will lead you home." And then I also had underlined, "No longer the queen who was promised, but the queen who walked between worlds." So she would not go quietly. She was not afraid.
Okay, listen. I was getting confused because I'm reading this, but also watching House of Dragon. I would get the prince who was promised and the queen who was promised mixed up.
Oh.
Like the prophecies really mixed together for me.
Yeah, I didn't really get that.
I was like, wait, huh? They're both...
And like... they are very, very similar, for sure.
So, anyways.
For sure, for sure. Yes. Then she finally goes through the gate, and she's falling through worlds. And this was crazy.
I love this part.
So, we get a crossover, and I'm going to go to that page, too.
I love this part, because we get a deliberate glimpse into ACOTAR. Like, she actually is merging the worlds. So, Aelin is coming out of the place where the word gate is, and she's falling through a bunch of worlds. And she falls through ACOTAR and Crescent City.
So, it says... I don't have, like, the ACOTAR and Crescent City stuff underlined. Well, I actually do. So... I think this was the ACOTAR one. Passed over one of those mountains where a winged male stood beside a heavily pregnant female gazing at those very stars, Fae. So that has to be Fae Sand.
Yeah.
It has to be. She's pregnant. There it is. It's under confirmed. The stars. Yes. And then there's a moment in the ACOTAR books where there's like a red shooting star.
Yeah.
And supposedly that's Aelin.
Yep.
And so it goes on to say, let's see, where is it? The winged male, beautiful beyond reason, snapped his head toward her as she arced across his starry sky. He lifted a hand as if in greeting. A blast of dark power, like a gentle summer night, slammed into her, not to attack, but to slow her down. So she was moving too fast through the worlds. She wouldn't be able to find her world. And Rhysand was the one that helped her slow down so that she could eventually make it home.
Yeah. It's crazy how many people and elements went into getting Aelin home.
Yeah.
Even Rhysand, who didn't even know her. And yeah. It's but just that part was so good.
That was a really...
And then it describes a city that is Crescent City.
Yeah.
That she
like
also
like tall
sees.
Buildings.
Yeah.
Like a big city.
I mean, we haven't read Crescent City, but
yeah.
You can guess that without reading it.
Yeah.
If you know a little bit about it. Then she finally makes it home. She is 100% Fae now. She can't shift into a human at all. Which I kind of liked that.
Yeah, I was kind of like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Like, so what if she can't shift back into human form?
But I didn't like how a lot of the power was gone.
Right.
So she didn't have her full power anymore. She's not a firebringer.
Right.
I just don't know why Sarah J. Maas has to do this.
It was kind of sad. But, you know, it was also wrapping up the whole series. So it's like, it's over.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
But it still leaves so many questions unanswered about Dorian. And I guess healers don't get their magic from the gods because the healer magic is still there and fine.
Yeah.
So.
But I really wanted to see Aelin's full powers against Maeve and Erwan.
Yeah, we didn't really get to see that.
We didn't really get to see that. But it's not Aelin that destroys them eventually. Really? It's Irene, right?
Right. Correct.
And but, okay, the thing...
It's Irene and Dorian kill Erwan.
Yeah.
And then the cadre kills Maeve.
Yeah. And that's kind of fun to see that it's not, like, the main character that is the one that destroys everything, all of the evil. It's kind of fun to see that it was her whole team... working against the
I really liked that, like, Aelin wasn't the one hero in the end, that it was everyone together.
Yeah.
And I love that Irene was like a big hero,
and you kind of do get to see that full circle moment of going back to Aelin as an assassin, kind of. She's not human, she's Fae now, but she doesn't have like all of these powers that she usually has. And so you get to see those skills a little bit more in the last bit.
Yeah, because for many years and for several books, she didn't have any magical powers.
Yeah.
And she was still lethal. So we love that.
Yep. Then going a little bit off some side plots. Darrow named Evangeline his heir, which was exciting. I thought there was going to be so much more to do with Evangeline, honestly. But there wasn't. That would be a fun side character.
Yes.
To read about.
Yes, I agree.
Aelin comes in riding on the Lord of the North, which was crazy.
Love that.
And she, just in my head, just powerful, golden on this white stag that's the Lord of the North. Very, very powerful moment.
Yeah.
A sad moment was when Gavriel died and Rowan was carrying him and remembering all of their memories together. I was like, oh, that was a stab in the heart.
Yeah, that part was definitely emotional.
Should we talk about our thoughts of Irene killing Erwan?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about this a little bit, just that Irene was the hero. She was the one that killed Erwan with the help of Dorian. And so I loved that. I really did.
Yeah, it was because she, I mean, the healer power doesn't seem extremely powerful, but it really is. And yeah, she was like the one to make it happen. Right. And it was one of the best character arcs for her. And that's why I love her character so much, is because she was the one that killed Erwan.
Yes. Which, like, her entire book was leading up to this. Because we were learning, like, why were the Vog so afraid of healers?
Yeah. Another woman of power moment for her, destroying the most evil thing in the series while pregnant.
That's right. She's pregnant. Yeah. I was like, we find out
that she's pregnant.
Queen.
That honestly kind of made me nervous, though, that, like, they were relying on her to do that while she was pregnant.
Well, and a lot of people didn't want her to do it, but she insisted. She was like, no, I know I can do it.
Yeah. This chapter 114, was kind of crazy. So this is when Maeve has Rowan, Lorcan, and Fenris under her dark magic and showing them
this
all,
was a trip.
All of their darkest fears. This part was so trippy. And then there's Aelin's plan to open the portals for the wolves, which I was like, what? Like, all of these components coming in to destroy Maeve. And then this is kind of when you get teary about Aelin and Fenris, because they're blinking at each other, four blinks, like, I'm here with you, or whatever it meant. I don't remember what it means. And I was like, oh, what?
I think the four blinks was like, I'm here, you're not alone, this is real.
Yeah, totally.
So what were we talking about? Chapter 114?
Yeah, 114 at the end of the chapter. This is when Fenris stabbed Maeve.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was happy for him to get his revenge.
Yeah.
He really had one of the most, like, traumatizing storylines.
Yeah. Do you think Kale had FOMO?
Because
he couldn't help.
Like, after everything was said and done, he kind of, like, woke up. Because he was unconscious because Irene was using all the power.
And they're connected. So he couldn't do anything.
And so he just passes out. And after everything is over, he, like, wakes up.
He's supposed to be this, like, insane fighter. Super powerful, but he couldn't.
I mean, his hero storyline was in Tower of Dawn when he connected himself to Irene. Because it saved both of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he needed to do that in order for Irene to be able to kill Erwan. And so he is a hero, but that part was just funny to me.
Yeah, his pregnant wife saved the day and he passed out.
He's just unconscious, like, in the battlefield somewhere.
But it had to happen. It did. Just some tender moments. Lysandra gets offered money. And she says she already has all she needs.
I don't remember that part.
She has Adian. She has Evangeline. She has her friends. That was tender. And then Manon is telling Dorian she misses the 13. And Abraxos will never see his mate again.
Heartbroken.
So sad. So sad. Aelin gives... Wait. Oh, yes. Aelin gives Gavriel the blood oath, even though he's dead. That was crazy. Tender. She was like, he never got to accept it because I promised it to him after Adian would take it, but Adian hadn't taken the blood oath yet, so she still gave Gavriel the blood oath, even though he was dead. Oh, wow. Yeah. And then Lorcan tells Elide, or... This part was funny. Why is Lorcan kind of the worst sometimes? He's telling Elide to ask him to marry.
No game.
No. He's like, you should ask me to marry you.
And she's like, okay, will you marry me?
So she does it. But then he takes her last name, which I was like, okay, that's okay.
Okay.
Lorcan. Cool. Lorcan. Lorcan. Lorcan Lochin.
I think it's Lorcan.
Lorcan.
Lorcan Lorcan.
Lorcan Lorcan.
I'm sorry, but what?
Oh, yeah.
Shelby Shelby.
Emily Amelie.
Okay. Decorating their homes?
Yeah, do you remember this? So, okay, I felt like the last, like, 50 pages were just drug out because it was just talking about their happily ever after. And there was a moment where they were discussing what rugs to use or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I don't know why, but
that is not in my memory at all.
I think it was brief, but I was just like, why is this happening? The only time I wanted to know about them decorating their home was when Feyre, and this is a different series, Akhtar series, was when Feyre was decorating her river house.
Yeah.
That's when I wanted to know the details, but not here. Not here. Aelin is finally crowned Queen of Terrasen.
This part was pretty epic. It was giving, like, Red Keep dais.
Yeah.
Like, just her walking down to the throne.
Finally just, getting her moment.
Yes.
And then...
I just need this scene to be, like, into... a film adaptation.
Oh, yes.
This would be such a good scene.
So much of this would be so good.
Let me pick the music.
Oh, please. And then finally, Adian takes the blood oath. I was like, when is this going to happen? And then it finally happened.
The fact that he wanted to be the first, and it literally doesn't happen until everything's over.
Yeah, he's the last. What the heck? He's like, save the last for best. The best save for the last.
Last for best. Save the last one. Okay.
I can't. I was convinced Aelin was gonna die. I was convinced. And then when she didn't die, I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Nobody died but the 13.
Yeah.
But I guess like Nehemia and Sam and whatever, but I was expecting more people to die, honestly.
You thought Rowan was going to die, or Aelin?
Well, I thought that Aelin was going to die, and then Rowan was going to be so sad about it that he was going to want to die, too.
Yeah.
Anyway. In the end, we get that moment where everyone is walking together, like, as one. And it's kind of the theme of this whole series, where they work together, and it's not... just one person is the save all be all. Even though Aelin is the best character ever, but she could do it because of the people around her.
Right.
And then,
I love the posse.
Yes, the posse. And then we leave the book with a better world, which is what they were striving for the whole time.
Yeah. And it's giving Daenerys. Like, Daenerys's story arc of, like, building an army and promising people a better world, and they, you know, decide to fight for her because of her promise for a better world. She has her little posse, which includes, you know, her girly.
Yep.
And then her lover, and then her other guy that's in love with her, but she's not in love with him.
And then the other guy that's in love with her. And then
the other guy that also loves her.
But her ending is way different than this. Way different.
Yeah. little bit.
Just a little
this
bit.
This is the ending we wanted.
Yes, this is the ending we wanted.
So, Aelin is much better than Daenerys, that's for sure.
But honestly, I was expecting so many more main characters to die in this book. Were you expecting that, or is that just me?
Just you.
Yeah.
Because after Nehemia and Sam died, I was like, that's it. Like, that was the big deaths, mm-hmm. and she's not going to have any other, like, super lovable characters die. I think that's why she didn't make the 13, like, attached. Like, we didn't get attached.
Yeah.
Because she didn't want to do that to us again.
But I kind of would have liked it more.
Maybe. If yeah.
we were a little bit more attached to them.
Yeah.
Or if, like, one of the main characters died that we were attached to. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of just, like, happily ever after. Everybody yeah. lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
That's my only beef with it, is that. But it's still so good, you know? There's never going to be your perfect ending that True. Everybody likes
True.
And wants.
True. But yeah, overall, this was such a good series. Such a good book.
Highly recommend.
It was just so good.
Me recommending it after people have already read it. If they're listening to this, you for That's sure true. Have read it.
That's true. So, we did it.
We did it.
Throne of Glass is over.
Which is so yeah. sad.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. Thanks for listening.
We love you. Give us a follow at eb.pod on TikTok and Instagram if you want updates. And we will post things for story episodes so you can send in submissions or just interact with us, comment, like our posts, message us. We want to hear your thoughts just as much as you listen to us. Please send us your thoughts.
Yes.
And like and subscribe. Give us a rating and review.
Like and subscribe.
yeah. Okay.
Anyways, love you.
Okay, bye.